Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. So if you are noticing that one hip is higher than the other, then you're absolutely not alone, because that is very, very common with scoliosis. And today we're going to be talking about what we can change and what we don't actually have to fix about uneven hips. So welcome to Back Chat and welcome to Move with Scoliosis. If you are new here to this channel, my name is Christine Jaregi-Berry and I'm going to be talking about uneven hips today. Now, this is a live stream right now. If you're watching this right now, feel free to use the chat where you can ask me questions, where you can contribute to this, obviously, as well. And if you are watching this on replay again on YouTube, you can leave us some comments as well afterwards. It's always lovely to hear from you. It's always nice to connect, obviously, and hoping that we're making this really, really relevant for you. So let's get right into this. And again, feel free to use, I'm just making sure that everything is working here properly, that I can actually see your comments as well. Good. So let's get into this. Why are uneven hips so common? And feel free to let me know, especially if you have a specific curve pattern, if you know what your curve pattern is, if you notice that one hip is higher than the other. So I'm going to be talking about myself as well, because I have a left lumbar scoliosis and I've always been told that my right hip is higher than my left hip. So that is the kind of the common, that's not a common curve pattern, that is my curve pattern. And it's something that my doctor observed when I was a child. So I was only 5 years old. At that point, they did know that it was scoliosis, but what they actually did is they gave me a heel lift into my shoes, because they were like, well, the hips are uneven, so we must raise that left hip up to make sure that the hips are even. So for a long time, all through my teenage years and beginning 20s, I was wearing this heel lift, not knowing that this actually did not solve anything. And I don't know if it made things worse, but it definitely didn't solve anything. So uneven hips, why is this happening? Sometimes, and again, tell me if you have been told this as well, sometimes people or health specialists or massage therapists or osteopaths, they will say, well, you've got one leg longer than the other, so that's why your hips are uneven. Now, you have to be very, very careful with this, because if you have scoliosis and you have been diagnosed with scoliosis by someone who's actually taken an x-ray of you and who's made you bend forwards and all of that, so they actually know that this is a structural scoliosis, we don't like to assume straight away that there is a leg length difference. Because what the scoliosis does, it will make it appear like that one leg is longer than the other. But actually what it does affect is your hips. And obviously that's what we're talking about today. Because especially if the spine is curved, actually it doesn't matter if it's the lumbar spine or thoracic spine, but the hips will shift. They will shift over. And when they shift over, they also slightly hike up as well. And this comes with the rotation as well that is happening with scoliosis. So it's not only a sideward bend, but it's also a rotation. So you might be looking in the mirror and you might be seeing, oh, one hip is higher than the other, but you also might be looking down when you're standing and look at your hip bones and notice if one hip bone is further forwards than the other. So these are the kind of things, and I'm guessing because you're here, you will have noticed that one of these things are happening. So we have to understand that some of this is coming from this structural, as we call it, a structural scoliosis. So your structure has created this hip shift. And usually the hips shift away from the biggest curve. So if you have an S-curve, for example, and you've got one curve that is bigger than the other, then the hips shift into the opposite direction. So just this is created by the structure. Some of it will also be adaptive, which means that your body has adapted to whatever is going on in your structure over time. So your body, obviously, I usually say this with a head, with scoliosis, you're not walking around like this with your head bent over to the side. Your neck will compensate. So you will make sure that your eyes are level to the horizon. So there will be kind of created a little compensation going on the other way. And that is the same with your hips, for example. So if you have a lumbar scoliosis that is turning you one way, the hips might be compensating, making sure to turn you the other way around. So yes, some of it is structure, some of it is adaptive. And when this adaptation is happening, again, this is a good thing because your body is clever, right? It's finding the best way to deal with this. But sometimes we kind of can get stuck in a pattern that might not be so great over the long term. So eventually what happens, because of gravity, because we're getting older, the muscles, so the spine affects what your muscles are doing, and then your muscles adapt so much that they actually start to pull your spine further into this pattern. So this is what I would call adaptive, or sometimes it's called functional. So this is the component of the scoliosis that we can actually do something about with our movement practice. So this is great. This is really, really good news, because now you can do something about this in your yoga practice, in your Pilates practice. Now, what we don't want to do is kind of starting to get obsessed over symmetry. And when I started to, again, I told you about the situation where I had a heel lift all of a sudden. So my doctors were saying, well, the hips are uneven, so let's raise, well, it was the other way, let's raise that left hip up so it's even to the right. Now my scoliosis hadn't changed. All they did is they lifted that left hip up. So it actually, it did feel okay in the short term, but in the long term, it didn't. And it made me actually feel a lot more uneven, because what you're doing is you're adding an asymmetry on top of something that is asymmetric. So the same thing could be said with, well, what if we're sitting down? And with scoliosis, for example, again, my major curve is the left lumbar curve. I know that I tend to sit more into my left sitting bones. And you can try this out, obviously. When it always becomes really apparent is when you're tired, when it's the end of the day, when you kind of don't have the power, the energy to hold yourself up, where does your pattern take you? So for me, it's hanging into my left hip, and my right hip will start to kind of raise up. So you could argue, well, what could we do? We could maybe raise that left hip a little bit. Now, this could be a good idea on a short-term basis, just to feel what it would feel like. And you could use like a folded hand towel or something like that and just bring it underneath that side that you're sinking into, just to see what it might feel like to get that other hip grounded down a little bit more. And I do find that it's easier to do this in sitting than anywhere else. And it's just to see what would have to happen. How does this affect the rest of your body? If you're now grounding down, through the other hip a little bit more. Now, what I wouldn't suggest is that you have this hand towel or whatever you're using underneath that left sitting bone all the time, because then it would be exactly the same thing as what my heel lifted. It's just kind of a short-term solution, but in the long term, you're adding an asymmetry on top of that something that is already asymmetric. So I'm going to pause here for a moment just to see. I'm hoping that, as there's a few of you here, I'm guessing that you can hear me okay. Feel free to use the chat. And let me know if you've got any questions so far. I'm just going to have a little sip of my tea. Good. So this is one of the kind of things where we want to be thinking about, yes, how can we make our bodies function a little bit better, but just kind of bearing in mind that we're probably, especially if we have kind of a pronounced structural scoliosis, we are not going to achieve perfect symmetry, which doesn't exist anyway. And it also doesn't really matter. And I keep saying this to my members, to my Shine members, I keep saying this to the people that I work with one-to-one. I've seen many, many different spines and different types of scoliosis, bigger curves, smaller curves. I wouldn't be able to say that the people that have got a straighter spine are in any way happier, nor do they function better, nor do they have less back pain. So this is just something that we kind of need to maybe change our mindset around a little bit. Actually, what I have found is that people who've been diagnosed earlier on, who've had some sort of physiotherapy education around their scoliosis when they were younger, that kept active, even if they had kind of a moderate to severe scoliosis, they were coping much better than people who were diagnosed later on in their adult years and who were like, oh, all of a sudden they've been told that they have scoliosis, even if it was just a little bit. So really, what is it about? Is it about having a great X-ray where you've got a perfectly straight spine, or is it about functioning well, living well, being able to do all the things, going out for hikes, going out for walking, going out for a run, playing with your grandchildren, playing with your children, doing gardening, whatever you like to do in your life? And I would argue that's what it is about, right? So this really should be our goal when we're thinking about uneven hips. It's not so much about, can I get them really in a straight line? It's more, how can I create the maximum amount of stability? And uneven hips is usually about something is going on. Some of it is compensation, but some of it can also be instability. Because if you think about it, usually for most of us, the lower back is one of the most mobile areas of the spine. And a lot of us have got hypermobility as well with scoliosis. So this area is a little bit, it's great because it helps us to move. If you weren't able to move your hips, you would have great difficulty walking. If the leg bones weren't able to move in the hip socket and all of that, you wouldn't be able to move around at all. So it's an area that needs to be able to move. But if it's too loose, if there's too much, if it just takes all the strain, then it can get, then it can become an area of instability as well. And I sometimes hear this about, actually, I did have an email the other day about my sacrum feels off balance, SI joint problems, sciatica. These are all issues that come from that uneven load that is being transferred through the body, and especially through walking, through running and all of that. So it's something that we cannot completely reduce, but we can alleviate the problems, and we can make sure that our bodies can cope with this uneven load. This is another reason people sometimes ask me about running with scoliosis. Should I be running? You should do whatever makes you happy, really. Some people are great. I always talk about Usain Bolt. He's, you know, very fast person with scoliosis, major scoliosis as well. So it's obviously possible, but it's not the easiest thing to do, right? Because of the load being unevenly distributed, which is why I would say, well, let's make sure we can walk before we can run. And even before walking, I would even say, and this is why we take it right back in Pilates, in our Pilates practices, can you stay, can you be, can you stand with as much balance? And then we add some little small contained movement, raising the heel up and down, raising one heel and then raising the other heel. So you're kind of mimicking that walking without letting your hips swing from side to side, which is what I would call the catwalk walk. Because that is, again, this is a lot of mobility. This is a lot of movement where the body has to kind of figure out all the time, where do bits and pieces go? Because we have that scoliosis, everything else has to organize itself around it. So the best thing you can do is really, really create that stability around the hips and around the lumbar spine. And a very, very easy thing to do to check if actually what you've got is a stability issue is if you stand in front of the mirror, really kind of pretend you're AI, you don't have any feelings, you're just going to take note what you can see without judging, without thinking, oh, where's this coming from, what have I done wrong, and all this sort of thing. You're just going to check, what does it look like? The side of my waist on one side of my waist on the other side, hip bones, find your hip bones, look at your feet, is one foot turning out, is one foot doing something else? All of these is really, really good information. And then what you can do is you take a quite a big pillow or maybe a yoga block, like you see the purple ones there in my shelf, and you just bring it in between the inner thighs. And then you think about squeezing the inner thighs into that cushion. Make sure it's not too small because we don't want your knees to kind of go in towards each other. This should be coming from the inner thighs, the adductor muscles, feeling that squeezing. Think about lengthening through the spine and then see if that changes anything. Does this now change something about side of the waist, hip shift, or anything like that? If it does, then great, because then you know what your work is, what you can do, right? You can start to strengthen the core, build up that stability, which is then going to make a really, really big difference. The other thing I think we need to talk about is the weight distribution. And we can get sometimes, you know, if you've been doing yoga for a long time, you're probably really, really good at this, right? You would be in your mountain pose, in your Tadasana, standing up. And usually the teacher would say something, shift your weight from side to side, or noticing where your weight is distributed. Sometimes what happens is that we don't really know, right? Because we are so used to being in our bodies, we are so used to being in this particular pattern for long, long periods of time, that if I ask the question, or if you ask yourself the question, do I have more weight on one side than the other? It could even be the opposite of what it actually is. So sometimes it's a little bit difficult to trust what's going on. And the best way to come out of this is really doing the opposite. So can you, when you're standing, can you really take your weight into one foot? See what that feels like. And then can you take your all the weight into the other foot? Still keeping the feet down. We're not doing a balance here. We're just really shifting your weight over into the side. So really feeling what this feels like. And then we want to come to the place somewhere in the center where we're evenly distributing the weight on both feet. Again, we're not chasing symmetry, because I have noticed relatively quickly in my body, if I'm trying to distribute the weight evenly, and I do have good body awareness, I've been practicing yoga for long periods of time, I will be slightly over to the side, right? It doesn't work out with my scoliosis. So I really have to think about using both legs. So what you can do is softening your knees a little bit and then starting to press the feet into the floor evenly, lengthening through the crown of the head. And then I'm also thinking about keeping that left side slightly contained and keeping space on the right side. Now, again, I am talking about my curve pattern here, which is a left lumbar, major kind of main left lumbar curve with a little bit of compensation on the right. But I know this is driving my hips over to the right. And obviously your curve pattern might be completely different. So what is true for me might not be exactly the same for you, but you can use these little exercises just to see what's going on. So first of all, what I said is stand in front of the mirror. Note what you can see with your eyes. Even better if you get somebody to take a photo of you looking from the back, preferably where you're wearing something that isn't too baggy so that you can actually see your waist and your hips. Look at what you can see. No emotion in this. It's nobody's fault. Nobody has done anything wrong. Nobody has caused this or anything. Just noticing what you see. And then seeing if this matches with what you can feel in your body as well. We cannot change anything if we are not aware. It's as simple as this. If you're not aware, you can have somebody putting you into different places. You can have somebody kind of saying, no, you should be doing this and this. If you're not aware, this is not going to last, right? You're going to walk out of that session, whatever it was, and it's going to go back to what it was before. You do need to make sure that you feel, and then you can create that change as well. So my chat doesn't seem to be working, but I'm hoping that some of this is making sense. So cushion squeezing is a sign of we need a little bit more control. Obviously, we need a little bit more stability. Then we can start to, Pilates is great for this. We can start to strengthen the core. We can do things like clam or being in side lying and doing some leg lifts and things like this. Now, when you're doing stuff like that, I would also start to notice if there's a difference. Is there one side stronger than the other? And sometimes we're very quick to judge and we're like, well, obviously my left side is stronger than my right. And again, I've had this with many clients. Once we start digging a little bit deeper and I start to ask, well, is it always like this? Or when you're lying on your side, is that different? Or when you're lying on your back, is that different? And usually it is, because scoliosis is three-dimensional condition. So sometimes it depends on what your relationship is with gravity. So we want to make sure we want to find a little bit more balance, of course. We're not chasing symmetry. We're looking for a little bit more balance. So when you know that one side in this particular exercise is stronger than the other, well, work on the other side a little bit more. Good. So Judy's saying, I have a thoracic S-curve scoliosis and lumbar curve, supposedly mild, but have started having thoracic pain. Investigated it more. One of my legs is about half an inch, maybe shorter than the other. Waiting to see orthopedist soon. Good. So that's great. And I think it's great that you are investigating this. And the only way to know this for sure is if they do an X-ray of your legs. So again, this is what I was saying in the beginning. Yes, it could be that there is a leg length difference, because we know nothing is completely symmetrical and perfect in the body anyway. But it could also be that it can appear like this because of the rotation in the hips. And you're saying you've got mild scoliosis, so we don't know obviously how much of a rotation there is. And sometimes it's literally, I mean, I've had this in the past where I went to see an osteopath because of whatever was going on. He was saying, oh, you've got one leg is shorter than the other. He did a bit of osteopathing around, releasing some stuff. And oh, all of a sudden, the other side was longer than the other. So things sometimes are appearing this way because of the muscle shortness. It might be tightness in the hips, things like this. So it's really good to get this investigated by orthopedist. I think that's great. And find out, is it actually the bones that are causing this? And where you do have a leg length difference. Because in that case, it might be worth actually having a heel lift or something in your shoes. Good. Kathleen is saying, when driving for long periods, my right hip becomes extremely sore. I'm now wondering if this is related to my scoliosis. If so, would it help to raise one side? RTLL, RT predominant. Yes. So thank you for this. So your right thoracic curve is the dominant one, which means that your hips are probably shifted over towards the left, which means that there could be, and I am just, you know, this is all the information I've got from Kathleen at the moment. It could be that there is more weight going into your right side when you're driving, right? Because your scoliosis takes you over to that side. It could be that you're hanging out in this. And I do actually have, again, as I said, the opposite. So my left side starts to kind of complain a little bit if I'm sitting for long periods of time. So you could try raising that one side. With driving, the first thing I would do is making sure that your hips, that you're not sitting in a tucked under position or a tilted forward position. This sometimes already solves most of the problems. So before you even think about left and right, make sure that your hips are in a great place where the hips are really kind of not tilted this way or tilted that way, making sure you've got enough lumbar support. So especially in driving, and I've just been to Germany for a long, long drive for 8 hours. And that's the first thing I do, because car seats are unfortunate, and even office seats are not designed for, I'm going to say women. They are designed mainly, usually they're designed for men. It's sad, but it's true. And they usually don't have the lumbar support in the right place, or they simply don't have any lumbar support. So this is the first thing I would do. And then you could try raising probably that right side for you a little bit and see if that makes a difference. Just thinking it's going to be for a relatively short period of time and then kind of forgetting about it again. Good. So Judy's saying, thank you. You're welcome. I'm hoping that this is helping, and I think it's great that you're getting it properly investigated. Good. So we've got Amina, I think, here. Is lower side pelvis going backwards or forwards, and what's the relation with the ribs on that side? Okay, so when I talk about forwards and backwards, again, this sometimes causes confusion. I talk about the top of the pelvis. Is it rotated forwards? Is it rotated backwards? So that's one thing. But then we also have this rotation this way, so that one hip could kind of come forwards that way. So it's not a tucked under or spilled forward situation. I always compare this to a soup bowl, but a kind of more of a shift, like the soup is staying in, but shifting one hip forward, one hip shifting up. And whatever is going on, usually it's a combination. Absolutely, it's got a relationship to the ribs on that side as well. So if I'm using my curve pattern again, if my right hip is hiked up a little bit, that can bring my right rib cage closer towards the top of the hips. Some people with severe scoliosis, it's actually touching, and that can sometimes be painful. And that can mean that it's very hard to move from side to side. If there is also so the lumbar scoliosis itself, yes, it influences the tissues obviously around diaphragm, which also has an effect on the ribs, but much more it will be a thoracic scoliosis, where the ribs are like properly structurally implicated as well. So it kind of depends. Usually everything is related, right? If there is something out of balance somewhere, somewhere else has to adjust and will have to adapt to what's going on. Good. Pam is saying, I have left lumbar, right thoracic, and right hip higher. It is often noticeable in my clothes, but the tilt and rotation of my pelvis bothers me more. Okay, and why is it bothering you? Is it taking you out of balance? You're saying it because of the clothes. Is it because the clothes are not kind of sitting properly? I can never get the back of my right hip flat when I lie on my back. Okay, so RTLL, lying on the back, this is a great one for awareness as well. So I think I'm going to say the positive here. I think it's great that you notice this, that your right hip, it sounds like to me, this is what I'm reading, that it feels like it's slightly lifted away from the floor when you're lying on your back. So you are noticing something. It does make sense to what you're describing. So what I would try with this is, what if you supported your left lumbar curve? And I don't know how severe your curvature is, but what if you're lying on your back and you bring a folded hand towel underneath your left lumbar, or where that biggest part of your curvature is, and see if that makes a difference. It might already balance itself out. Pam is also saying, I have more SI joint and hip pain, and I'm not sure what to adjust. So your SI joint is obviously taking some of this load. Really important hip strength, really important to build up that strength, because the SI joint, the joint between the sacrum and the ilium, is not supposed to, the pain comes from too much movement. And we do need, as women, we do need a little bit of movement for childbirth. But once you don't need to birth any children anymore, we want our stability back. But sometimes what happened is, and it could be hormonal, not even giving birth, but it could just be going through menopause or pregnancy, that things have become a little bit loose in the SI joint department. So we need to think about creating stability in that area as well. So try this. Try supporting that left side when you're lying down. See if that makes a difference. And then I would really think about, well, actually, one of my favorite things to do for SI joint is if you take a band, strong resistance band, really strong one, or a yoga belt, lying down on your back, knees bent, feet flat, put that around your thighs, and then you're gently squeezing outwards. So you do this with your breath. So you exhale, gently squeezing the thighs outwards, which closes the SI joint. And see if that makes a difference. Okay. Judy is saying, can you speak to if any correlation to scoliosis and tailbone pain? Usually, tailbone pain, in my experience, comes from tucking under too much, what I would call tucking under. So flat back, kind of being in the situation where the hips are being pushed forward. So if you're standing and you're kind of squeezing your bum a lot, you're pushing your hips forwards to protect your lower back. Sitting only. Okay. And it might be, this is what I would question here. It could be that you're creating this, or your body creates this while you're standing and then you're sitting down. Or, you know, it could be vice versa, obviously, as well. But if you're saying this comes out in sitting, again, this would be me thinking it's probably a lot of tucking under. So it's your body trying to create stability by a strategy which is fine for the body short term, but not so great for you in the long term, obviously, by tucking the tailbone under. And this means kind of resting in the wrong place of the tailbone. And funny enough, I can very much relate to this one as well. It could also be the opposite, right? You're hanging with your hips kind of tilted forwards and you're hanging into your lower back. Usually it's one of those. So what I would do, and absolutely there is a correlation to scoliosis, because again, as we talked about before, it's your body trying to deal with everything that is going on in your spine. And cat-cow is a really, really good one for this. Cat-cow is great. One of my favorite things to do in this situation, Judy, is if you have got a bolster, like you see that purple bolster there, lying on your belly over the bolster, just kind of on the half the bolster on the edge of the pelvis. So bolster is kind of from here to there, supporting the upper body, lying on your front and simply breathing into the sacrum, breathing into your lower back. You will feel a slight movement of your sacrum with the breath. It will respond to the breath. It might not do it straight away, especially if you've got kind of locked up tension, tightness in this area, but it will do that after a while and you will feel that gentle movement. And that usually can help with this type of pain. So try it out, see if that helps. And it kind of brings me to some of the movement ideas, obviously, if we have, I've already given you quite a few actually, when you've got uneven hips, things like shifting the weight from side to side. In Shine, in our yoga and Pilates class, we sometimes do a figure of eight. Things like this, where you're kind of transferring the weight from side to side, small movements, small cat-cow, and the emphasis is on small. You don't need to do a big, massive movement, just gently tilting the hips forwards and backwards. When you're lying on your back, little tilting of the hips from side to side. All of these things can teach the body what balance is. Because it will only learn what balance is if you take it into movement. If we kind of stay static, and sitting is one of the worst things here, we don't move, we stay there, body adapts. Body adapts, creating more tension, more tightness, and then it's difficult to come out of it. So that's one of the most important things to do, really, is moving. I always say this is why this is called move with scoliosis. But it could just be small, simple, gentle movements, just to teach your body where is it a little bit more comfortable. And the body is amazing. It will accept, it will kind of understand, oh, actually, this might be kind of a better situation. Good, Judy's saying thank you for doing these lives. You're very, very welcome, Judy. I'm going to leave it at this for today. I'm hoping that this was useful for you guys. Let me know, as always, let me know if there's any topics you want me to talk about. Obviously, I do want to make this very practical. If you do want to practice with me, come and join me in the Shine membership, where we've got plenty of yoga and Pilates practices specifically tailored for scoliosis as well. Good. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll see you very soon. Bye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.